There is nothing better during a Michigan summer than spending time on the Great Lakes. A few weeks ago, we asked you just what questions you had about our state's freshwater seas, and we're going to bring you answers all summer long. We begin today with this question.
My name is Ted Benarski, and I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My question is, are there areas of the Lower Peninsula where the aquifer is filled with Lake Superior water so that someone pumping up from a well was getting water that was chemically traceable to Lake Superior?
To answer Ted's question, let's turn now to Michigan State University hydrologist Dr. David Hindman. Dr. Hindman, I think it's pretty safe to say we're aware the Great Lakes are the largest group of freshwater lakes on Earth by total area and the second largest by total volume. And so many of us get our drinking water from the Great Lakes. But where does all that water come from in the first place?
The vast majority of the water comes from the Gulf of Mexico. So that's the big source of moisture that goes up into the atmosphere and creates our precipitation that basically fills the Great Lakes.
That, I think, a lot of us didn't know. All right, Gulf of Mexico is salty. Why,
it is.
Why is the Great Lakes fresh water?
Evaporation takes fresh water out of the oceans, and the salt is left behind in the oceans. So if you looked at the precipitation that's coming down, even on top of the oceans, it's fresh.
Okay, thank you for that. So how much does the water move around from lake to lake?
It moves a lot, so there's a fairly rapid flow between the lakes, from the headwater lakes to the lakes at the end of the Great Lakes system. And there's also significant groundwater flow, so precipitation falls on the land. Part of that becomes recharged to the groundwater system, and then that groundwater flows out to lakes and streams and back to the lakes.
How much kind of interaction are we seeing from the groundwater in the lake? Is that a lot? And is it from groundwater all over Michigan or more on the coastal areas?
It's all over. So most of the water that gets to the Great Lakes gets there via groundwater because basically there's a very small amount that falls directly on surface water and that flows down rivers and streams to the lakes. But the rest of the area that is land has water flowing via groundwater down into the lakes and streams and also directly to the lakes.
Does climate change affect the water movement in the lakes and the water interaction between the lakes and groundwater?
It does. So climate change in areas like ours that have significant snow, it changes the cycle of that melting. So rather than us storing a snowpack that melts in the springtime, we find we're getting more intermittent melt now. And that can actually shift the cycle of the groundwater recharge and potentially make the streams lower flow in the dry portion of the year.
I remember how really, I think, exceedingly happy water scientists were with the winter of 2013-2014 when we set records with our snow and it lasted well into the spring. That really helped, didn't it?
It did. It recharged the lake significantly.
Now, does the water from each lake, Dr. Hindman, have its own chemical signature? I guess I'm wondering if I took water coming from a tap in Monroe, from a tap in Grayling, and from a tap in Grand Rapids, would you be able to figure out just where that water came from based on a chemical signature?
There are small differences in the chemistry. Most of it has to do with the human contaminants that we put into the lakes. So, for example, if you look at Lake Erie, it has higher concentrations of nutrients than Lake Huron, all the way up to Lake Superior, which is the cleanest of the lakes. So that's the biggest signature. But it's difficult to put an exact fingerprint on water because it changes on a seasonal basis and also on an annual basis.
What about groundwater?
So groundwater is fairly stable. So if you think about groundwater flow times in Michigan out to those surface water bodies, it can take anywhere from years to even over a century in some portions. So there's an interesting concept that we're working on called the land use legacy, where there's water that is coming out in streams right now that might have been from a pristine area. But now that land cover is actually agriculture, so there's more contributions of nutrients to it. So it's a very interesting concept when we talk about management of these water resources.
And kind of wondering what's awaiting future generations. If it's taking years or up to a century, what could happen down the road?
Exactly.
I guess that leads to kind of my final question. Why does it matter for us to really understand all of this?
Well, water is the most important resource on the planet. We all rely on it. And one thing that we find is we don't really pay attention to water quality until there's a problem, until there's contamination in the water, or if we run out of water, if our well goes dry, or something like that. And I work a lot in arid regions of the country, the High Plains Aquifer, and there are areas of that aquifer right now that are being depleted. And that water resource is critical to supply really intensive agriculture that has high yields. So very important for us to think ahead about both the quantity and quality of water all across the world.
If you could wave a magic hydrologist wand and have things set up to the point where future generations would be assured of good fresh water, what things would you have happen?
I would have people really think about sustainable water supplies, and sustainable both in terms of quantity and quality. So what it would take would be the policymakers that are making the rules would have to work closely with scientists that could make predictions and projections of what's likely to happen to quantity and quality through time. And by working as a team, we could actually move forward and decide the best way to manage these precious resources.
Dr. David Hindman is a Michigan State University hydrologist. Thanks so much for joining us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me on.